Okay, we had left off last time in Beis Amud Aleph in the Tosfos, where Tosfos asks a question from the practice of the Jews in the Middle Ages. The Mishnah had said that lifnei edayim shalav dekachav mishloshi yom asir lasayis velasayis imoyim, that there's a prohibition 3 days before and including the holidays of idolaters. It's also to do various kinds of business transactions with them, not to buy and sell, not to lend money or to borrow money, not to lend objects or to borrow objects, not to pay back debts or to demand debts, you know, to demand payment of debts. And basically, Tosfos says, well, all that is fine, good, but in medieval Europe, we don't do that. Medieval Europe, you know, we the Jews, you know, have business with our Christian neighbors, even mamash on the day of the holiday itself. So how does one explain that, given the very clear prohibition of the Mishnah? So Tosfos had started off saying, maybe you'll tell me, this is in the third Tosfos on Beis Amud Aleph, maybe you'll tell me, V'ein lomar dahainu taima, it's 3, 6, 9 lines down from the top of the page. V'ein lomar dahainu taima mishum da'avdei kochavim shebuchutz la'aretz la'avd avdei avodas kochavim ela minag avoseihem bi'adam. Don't tell me that maybe because the Gemara in Chulin says that idolaters that avdei kochavim outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's not the real thing, they're just going through the motions. Their mashgichim have to get up and give them musar shmus and about how they're not being good of the avodah zarah, right? And so therefore, maybe all of the prohibitions that are in the Mishnah and the Gemara don't apply to us. It's not going to work, says Tosfos. The Hamash Shmuel b'Gemara, because we're going to see later on, Zayinu Midbeis, Shmuel is going to say, Begola eino aser elo yom eidom bilvad, that outside of Eretz Yisrael, taka, we do lessen the severity of these prohibitions. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, the only prohibition is to do commerce with the Avdei Kochavim on the day of the holiday mamash. Okay, so the 3 days before falls out. But mashma hayom eidom mia asa. But the Gemara implies that on the Yom Eid itself, on the holiday itself, so there still would be an issa. So in other words, you know, you can't. It's one thing you want to conjecture based on the Gemara and Chulin, but here Shmuel comes in our Gemara and he says straight out that although we knock down the prohibition, you know, it's not the same 3 day prohibition that we have in the time of the Mishnah, but Chash, the day of their holidays, there would still be a prohibition. And apparently, in medieval Europe, the Jews did business with the Goyim, even Biyom Eidom Mamish, you know, on the actual day of the holiday. So, Fractisis, we're back to square one. So, I mean, so where's the het?
The Tanaim and the Mishnah definitely, we're presuming that they're talking about Christianity.
No. They're not talking about Christianity. But Tosfos is saying we in the Middle Ages, the people we deal with, are Christians. So Tosfos makes the assumption, which Tosfos doesn't really spend a lot of time trying to prove, but Tosfos makes the assumption that medieval Christians are begeder of the Avodah Zarah. Now, that might be debatable. Again, there's some questions, and again, we'll see in Bali Tosfos as well, whether the Trinity, the concept of Shittuf, you know, that they believe in God, they just believe that there are other forces that work in conjunction with God, you know, is that concept considered to be Avodah Zarah Mamash or not? Again, so it could be that some Baalei Tosfos hold that not. But the mashmos and the question, at least in this Tosfos, is that the Christians are of the Avodah Zarah. If they weren't of the Avodah Zarah, so then we would solve the problem right away. But since we assume that they are, so therefore we think there's a problem. So says Tosfos, I'll tell you what I think. L'chach nireh, d'shari mishum eva. So therefore, says Tosfos, this is going to be the first of three Teirutsim that Tosfos is going to present. Says Tosfos, I think that perhaps it's mutter because of eva, because of animosity. Dehainu, mikir adin, it really should be asa, midina de mishnah. Right? The only thing is, we sometimes see that certain dinim can be set aside or pushed, you know, to their limits, because of the problem of animosity that it's going to create.
Like it's monotonoyim, they didn't have animosity people going.
Right, so l'chara, right, I mean, that's a very serious question you could ask, right? In other words, bismanatanoim, right, and so they said, you know, we're not going to do business with you. They said, oh, okay, don't worry about it, you know, no big deal. I don't know, I mean, that's
said that they follow this Mishnah.
What's that?
Who said that they follow this Mishnah, even
Bisman hatanoim, you mean?
Right.
All right, but
this might be this heretical halakha.
Okay, I mean, but, you know, we would need evidence to support that. you know, lacking any evidence to the contrary, I think we would assume that the Mishnah, you know, is on the books, and therefore, I don't know how many people followed it, but, you know, the assumption is that that it was followed, and that it should be followed, certainly. Right?
Maybe there was a way for Italy.
I'm sorry?
Maybe there was a way for anybody, doing business, not doing business.
No, it's Mutter Shishogim Al Yumazid, then something like
no,
that.
No, either way is going to be Eva with the Goyim.
Either way, it's going to be Eva. Yeah, but oh, you mean, but there's not a Gemara. There's not a Gemara. There's either way, it's going to be Eva. There's not a Mishnah, so there's anyway, there's going to be Eva. So we might as well be Makbid, but here by the Christians, you know, they'll like us. Doesn't seem to be work. Doesn't seem to work out really in Christian Europe either, you know. But you know, yeah.
But this Gemara, weren't they dealing with Mohammedans?
No,
Arabs?
No. This is before. Well, Muhammad comes in the 700s. You know,
so they weren't Christians at the time of Tanakh.
No, no, they were regular pagans.
So,
Pasha's a pagan.
Do you differentiate between the pagans of Avodah Zarah and Christianity of Avodah Zarah?
So Tosfos assumes not. Again, one could in theory, right? But that's not the assumption in Tosfos. I mean, and from the very answer of Eva, you see that Tosfos is not willing, at least at this point, to consider the idea that Christians, that yesh lechalik between Christians and pagans, because then that would have been a better answer than Eva, right? So Tosfos seems convinced that the Christians are mamish of the Avodah Zarah, with all of the dinim that apply to the other Avodah Zarah of the Mishnah. So how does it work, Mishum Eva?
Eva would apply more to Christians than to, say, the other pagans, because Christianity had established a strong, by that time, by the Middle Ages, a strong, strong hatred of Jews, and that we destroyed, we killed their Gedgeter and stuff like that. So that hatred based on their religion, they might have hated us Tanayim, but this hatred based on their religion had to be very, very strong at the time.
Yes, I think that's a very good answer. In other words, why would there be Eva Bisman Habalitosis, but not Bisman HaMishnah? Again, because if you're an Ovid Marculus, yeah, okay, you don't like the Jews, stam, because Halacha Hishal Esav Shana is Yaakov, but there's nothing in Marculus worship, you know, that preaches anti-Semitism per se. But you're right, I mean, Christianity by its very nature, you know, has a certain chip on its shoulder against Yiddishkeit, because, you know, we're not just a neutral people, we're the devil, you know, we're the ones who did in their God. I think also, perhaps, that, you know, in the Middle Ages, the Jewish economy was much more dependent on their relationships with the Christians. Whereas Bisman HaMishnah, okay, so the Jews did business with Jews, so they did business with the Avodah Zarah.
And it was an agricultural society.
Right, although they had business. They had business.
More in the Middle Ages, it was more into commerce.
Right, right. Enochinami, so again, especially if it's an agricultural society, so you do lend, you don't lend. It could be that there was as much Eva back in the time of the Mishnah as there was in the time of the Baalei Tosfos, but the consequences weren't as severe. In other words, okay, so the other Avodah Zarah Bisman HaMishnah don't feel so well disposed to the Jews. Okay, we'll live.
Yeah, also, right? with this month about the Baalei Tosfos, you talk crusade, approximately crusades.
Right,
also.
So Eva really means something bad. Right, so I think you put all those factors together, you know, one could make the argument that, you know, even though there's something inherent about these halachas, which is going to create animosity between Jews and non-Jews, I mean, after all, that's the whole point of the halachas, in a sense, you know, to drive a little bit of a wedge, you know, between Jews and their non-Jewish neighbors. But the Eva would have been stronger and more religious-based and would have had greater consequences, Bisman Baalei HaTosfos, whereas, you know, they could have dealt with it. You know, Bisman HaMishnah, it wouldn't have made the kind of waves that it would have made in the Middle Ages. Al-Kopanim, so that's what Tosfos suggests. L'chach nir d'shari mishum Eva. How do we know that Eva's ahead? I mean, very nice, okay, so maybe we just have to take the Eva and deal with it. No, so says Tosfos, I'll give you a raya. K'da'ama b'gumara gavi rehuda r'nasiya, d'shadar le'ahu mino dinara kisraina, b'yom eda. So the Gemara later on, Daf Vav Amud Beis, quotes the story, actually very soon, right after the Gemara we saw last time, the Gemara with Lifnei Iver. So the Gemara there tells the story of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, who was a certain Goyish individual, who apparently was a high-ranking officer, sent a present to Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya on the Goyish holiday. What was the present? A dinar kisraina, a coin which had been newly minted. It's the first edition, you know, a collector's edition of a certain coin. And by sending this, you know, he wanted to show kavod to Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, and it would be a kavod to the guy and to his holiday for Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya to accept the coin as a present. So Amar Heichi Avid. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya said, "What should I do? Lo Ashkele Havelo Eva. If I don't take it, so then there will be Eva." So says Taisus. Oh, so you see from this Gemara that Ava's a matir. The fact that he's concerned with Ava tells you that Ava would allow him to do something which he wouldn't ordinarily do. Now the truth is, as Tysus himself is going to point out in just a minute, that's not such a poshut conclusion to draw from that Gemara. Let's just take a look at that Gemara inside.
You're dealing with a high officer. We're not talking about your average Joe who gave you a present.
Right.
So here, you know, Ava can not only have consequences for him, it can have consequences for Yiddishkeit.
Right,
generally.
Especially because Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya is the representative of the Jewish community. Right, you could for sure, I think that's the chiluk. I think if you look at the Gemara, there's an even more basic chiluk, which Tosfos is going to talk about in just a minute. So Vav Amud Beis, if you look, the third Tosfos, Lo Asru Ela B'Dover HaMiskayim. Then you slide into the Gemara and go up like a line or two. The word hahu is at the end of the line.
Yeah.
So hahu mina'a, the shadalai dinar kisarna'a, the Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya biyom Eda. Right? So again, the Gemara tells the story, a certain non-Jew sent a newly minted coin to Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. Havi yasav leshlakish hameh. Leshlakish was sitting in front of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. Amar Heichi Avid Ashkelei Azilumod. So he said, Rabbi Yehuda said, "What should I do if I take it?" So Azilumod, the guy is going to go to his temple and he's going to give thanks to his God, you know, that he was able to send such a present which was accepted by the Jewish leader. And you know, we're back to all the problems which we have here in the Gemara. Lo Ashkelei Havelei Eva. But if I don't take it, so then there's going to be animosity. So Amalei Veshlokish told us Roko Silabor Lefanov. Says Veshlokish, "I have a great idea. Go take the coin when he gives it to you and throw it into the sewer, you know, into the pit right in front of him. And this way you'll show him that that you're not accepting it." So fact of you didn't see, he says, wait a minute. I know a little bit about diplomacy. Omar, Kol Shekein Dehavi Le'Eva. Wait a minute, you're trying to tell me that's a good idea to get rid of the Eva. I mean, he's certainly not going to be happy with that. No, so Zog Veshlokish, Kla Achayad Hudaka Amina.
Accidentally on purpose.
Butterfingers. Oops. Right? So on the one hand, he won't have Eva. I mean, he'll think you're a klutz, right? But he's not going to have Eva because he won't chap that it was done by Kavana. He won't see it as a slight. On the other hand, he's not going to have that same, joy, which would prompt him to be Ozilumoda, to go off to the temple that day and offer his thanks to his deities. It's Dr. Gemara. So, okay, and apparently that's what Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya did. You know, he used this Eitzah to get out of the whole issue. So when you think about it, the Raya from the Gemara is a kind of, it's a Shvera Raya, it's a difficult Raya. Because the Gemara doesn't say Eva is a Matir. If Eva was a Matir, so then the answer of Reish Lakish should have been, take it, right? Eva was the problem, right? In other words, on the one hand, I'm concerned about Eva, meaning if I don't take it, there's a reality out there that I'm going to get into trouble, the Jewish community is going to get into trouble, whatever. On the other hand, the halacha prohibits me from taking it. That seems to be the issue, the way the Gemara is raising it. It's not that Eva is a halachic dispensation. Eva is what's causing me a dilemma. I'm caught between the halacha and the reality, you know, the real situation which I'm going to have to deal with. But mitzad halacha, the answer in that Gemara seems to be clear. Mitzad halacha, he's not allowed to accept it. So Reish Lakish gives Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya a good eitzah how to fulfill the halacha, in addition to doing it in such a way so that, you know, you're not going to cause any waves. Right? In other words, you know, the Mashal Amad Avadoma, you know, the guy who gets invited to some kind of affair where he's not comfortable with the kashrus. So on the one hand, the fact that, you know, he doesn't want to offend anybody. On the other hand, he's not comfortable with the kashrus. So you give him an eitzah how to maintain his standard of kashrus and still in a surreptitious manner not offend anybody. But no one would say, okay, well, you think the kashrus is lousy, so therefore you're allowed to eat, right? That's not the answer. The answer is you figure out some kind of eitzah you know, to constantly be juggling Coca-Colas, you know, and, you know, you just keep moving the plates around and whatever, and, you know, that way you don't have to worry about anything. So that's what Tosfos says over here. Miu, ein mishum raya gemura. The Shem alav mishum eva lishteri, elohaya no tel eitza, keitzad yasa shlo yi elo eva. The point, the context in which eva is raised in that gemara, again, it's not as a heter, but as the issue, the real issue, you know, the real life issue, which he would have to work around. But fakir, if anything, it's mashma from that gemara, that eva is not a matir, because if eva was a matir, so then the answer would have been just very simply, take the coin. Right? So that's number one. Number two, says Tosfos, v'od itaimu mishum eva, teinach lahalvosum ulahashilam ulaparam, kisha ovid kochavim tovei achovo, avalosis velosis imoim dahanu mekachu memkar, my eva iko. Right? So says Tosfos, you know, the truth is, when you think about it, Eva doesn't even work to be, even if you said Eva was a matir, there isn't Eva in many of the scenarios which are described in our Mishnah. Right? In other words, I understand that if the guy comes and he asks for a loan, or he asks to borrow a shovel, or he asks you to pay back his loan, and you say, no, I'm not going to do that, it's your holiday, I don't do these kind of things on your holidays. I understand that that generates Eva. But to do business with him, my Eva Ika. If you just close your store on the day of the Goyish holiday, you know, closed for the holiday, why does that generate Eva? What, a guy's not allowed to say, I don't need the business right now? If the guy is proactive and he approaches you and you say, no, I'm not going to be misyachis to you, I'm not going to relate to you, okay, that's one thing. But you close the store. Why should there be? Why should you have a tain on you that you closed the store? The same thing comes to when the Jew is borrowing money or borrowing items or paying back, you know, money to a debt that he owes to the Akum. If the Jew refrains from doing all of these things on the Yom Eid of the Akum, on the holiday, I mean, why should how does the guy even know that the Jews refraining from doing these things is because of the fact that it's a Goyish holiday? How would the guy know? You're not going to knock on his door and tell him, I meant to borrow from you, but I'm not going to borrow from you because it's your Yom Eid. You're just going to do nothing. So if you do nothing, how is that going to be Garim Eva?
Because right? They know. As someone always tells him, it's been the history of the Jews. Someone either shmatzach or gets angry or it slips out. Well, he reads the Gemara. And it tells him, hey, you know, we're having machlokas, you know, whether or not they should do business with you, so they're going to shut down the day before and say, I don't need your business.
Right.
I mean...
Right, so that may have been a phenomenon...
One in the crowd.
That may have been a phenomenon later on in history. I don't know if that phenomenon was present yet in the early days of the Bali Tosfos. You know, you had these informers later on. You had the Meshumodim. The Meshumodim were the biggest problems. My impression was the Mishuma,
Kamsa?
Yeah.
He manufactured. Right. Not only did he open his mouth, but he lied and he manufactured the whole problem.
Yeah. No. So I mean, you have Mishumadim. You have people who went over to Christianity. My impression is a lot of that came later, and maybe Tosfos feels that that's not a strong enough cheshash that will necessarily come to fruition.
Also, the guy, you have a guy with a quarter of a brain. They're gonna say, they'll take a look. Says, huh? They're closed on the Goyish holiday. We know they close Shabbos. They close Rosh Hashanah, etc. What kind of nonsense is this? They closed perhaps in our honor.
Right.
It's another thing.
Right. So you could say like that also. Mm-hmm. It's clear, by the way. I mean, when Tosfos quotes this Pshita. And then argues against it. It's clear that one of the Bali Tosfos held the Shita. In other words, was Masbir that the reason is Mishum Eva, that really Medina de Mishnah, we really should not be able to carry on commerce with the Goyim, with the Avdei Avodah Zarah. And, you know, it's the whole thing is Mishum Eva. When we look in Shulchan Aruch, we'll see that the Shulchan Aruch Ramah do quote this reason Mishum Eva. So as much as the Bali Tosfos later on in Tosfos raise certain questions against it. Apparently, you know, again, it was a shita that certain Bali Tosfos held, And they might have responded to this question in such a way. In other words, what do you mean it's not going to get out? It's going to get out. You know, the nature of these things is, you know, they have a way of smelling that, you know, that we're doing this because of an aversion to idolatry and to idolaters. And, you know, and that's enough of a heter. But apparently Tosfos didn't hold that that cheshash was strong enough, you know, to be able to be matter what a real bona fide Yisura.
But this Avodah Zarah isn't strong enough to say that Yehoreg V'Yavo. It's not to that extent that
Again, up till now in Tosfos is not mechalic between Christianity and the paganism of the time of the Mishnah.
No, just when we say Yehoreg V'Yavo, right, on three things, Avodah Zarah, that's right, your own Avodah Zarah. But being involved in Avodah Zarah, will you draw the line where you stopped saying we only worry about Ava or lack of Ava?
Well, the fact
we say Yehoreg V'Yavo, don't you? It's
I mean the fact that it's not Yehoreg V'Yavo wouldn't necessarily mean that it's Mutter Mishum Ava. No, there's still a space, you know, between those two extremes. So the Tosfos suggests another answer. L'chach nireh, the end of the first white line. L'chach nira, the tama heter, mishum de akum shebeinenu, kimlon begavayu de lo pochu lavodas kochavim. It seems that the reason is that the akum among us, the ovdei kochavim azolos among us, we feel confident that they don't really bow down to avodah zarah. From a high time of shari l'kamon beperik basra, Rav Yehuda de shader le korbanu la avidrona biyom edo. Amar kimli begavei de lo polach lavodas kochavim. V'chein rava de shader le korbanu le bar sheshach biyom edo. Amar kimli begavei de lo polach lavodas kochavim. The Gemara there, Tosfos quotes two instances from the Gemara in the last parak of Avodah Zarah, where individual tanoim amoroim, actually both amoroim, where individual amoroim both sent presence. Korbana in this context means not a korban, not a sacrifice. Right? You can't send a sacrifice to Avodah Zarah, but you know, they sent presents to prominent of the Avodah Zarah on their holidays. And in both cases, that runs smack against what the Mishnah says. In both cases, they explained that
we know that
they're not really idol worshippers. In other words, they're not so frum, you know, in their Avodah Zarah. So therefore, we know that lo osul model avodas kochavim. We know that they're not going to go and actually offer thanks to their gods and their temples. So therefore, you know, the whole shaila which motivates our Mishnah is not considered to be an issue over here.
Why wait till the holiday, till their holiday, just to send those presents?
Right. So my guess is that either it happened to work out that way, or that, you know, they were sending the present in a kind of what we call today a secular sense. The Hainu, you know, Mashallah, you know, you have a secularized, Americanized Christian. You know, for him, Kratzmach is basically about exchanging presents. You know, so as a, you know, again, these were high-ranking officials, as we'll see in a few moments, and Rav and Rav Yehuda represented the Jewish community. So, you know, for better or for worse, the politics of the time dictated that it would be appropriate to send some kind of greeting or gift, you know, l'kavod the Goyish holiday. But they knew that the, you know, that the official in question didn't really observe the Goyisha holiday in any meaningful kind of fashion. The Gemara about Bar Sheshach in particular is an interesting Gemara, so I think we'll just take a moment just to go through the Gemara over there in the last parak on Samech Hei. It starts Samech Dalet Amud Beis at the bottom of the page. So Rav Yehuda shadar le korbanah, the very last couple of words of Samech Dalet Amud Beis. Rav Yehuda shadar le korbanah lavidrona biyom edom. Rav Yehuda sent a gift. Again, korbanah Rashi as tshura, right? He sent a gift, you know, a tribute to avidrona, the name of this prominent Ovid Avodas Kochavim, on the day of their holiday. Omer yedana beid lo palach Avodas Kochavim. I know that he doesn't really bow down to Avodas Zarah. You know, he's a card-carrying member of the Avodah Zarah Club, but he doesn't really do much beyond that. Right? Skip down a little bit, talks about Ger Toshev. And if you see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 8 lines into the Gemara from the top of the page. Rava amti le korban le bar sheshach biyom edom. Rava, brought a gift to Bar Sheshach on their Goyisha holiday. Okay, similar to before, he says, I know that Bar Sheshach, you know, is not such a frum akum, he doesn't bow down to Avodah Zarah. But as we'll see, his lack of enthusiasm for Avodah Zarah didn't extend to a lack of enthusiasm for other Averas. So the Gemara tells the following story. So Rava went b'chvodo v'atzmo to deliver this present, which, by the way, gives you a sense of the chashivus of Bar Sheshach and the apparent, you know, the political need to drop off this gift. You know, Rava goes b'chvodo v'atzmo, you know, himself, to drop it off. So he brings it to Bar Sheshach, and he finds Bar Sheshach who's sitting up into his neck in rose water, in a special, let's say, we call them contemporary terms, like kind of jacuzzi, right? He's sitting in the jacuzzi, you know, with the soap suds and whatever, and the beautiful, the rose water, everything is geschmack. The kaimen zona sarumas kame, and Bar Sheshach is surrounded by women of ill repute who are, you know, dressed or undressed accordingly, you know, covered the occasion. Amar lei. So Bar Sheshach says to Rava, you can imagine, you can picture this scene, Rava, you know, a long white beard, you know, color, you know, you can imagine, you know, how Rava's heart is probably going through his chest, but, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do. It's a Vanag Yisrael, like, apparently, okay, this was the politics demanded. But Bar Sheshach wants to stick it to Rava. Amar lei, Islachu ki agavna la'alma da'asi? No, in your Olam Haba, do you have it as good as this? Says a mechutzif also, right? This Bar Sheshach. Amar lei, didon adifa tvei mehai. I want you to know, says Rava to Bar Sheshach, what we have waiting for us in Olam Haba, it's much better than what you have here now. Amar lei, tvei mehai mehava. So Bar Sheshach says back to him, it doesn't get better than this. What are you talking about? Amar lei, so Rava says back, Atun ikar alaychu emas adamalchusa. You, when all is said and done, you're having a wonderful, pleasurable time, but in the end of the day, you're still afraid of the king. You know, you're just an official. If the king were to call you now, you'd jump up, you'd come running through his palace. Anan lo tehevi alon emas adamalchusa. We in our Olam Haba, we're only going to be meshubed to the Ribbono Shel Olam. No basar v'adam, no human being is going to exercise any fear over us, not even the biggest melech. Amar lei, ano mia, my emes of the malchusa iko alai. Says Bar Sheshach, what are you talking about? A guy like me, I'm such a chashev guy. You think I'm afraid of the king? You think the king can do anything to me that's going to get me afraid? You know, of course, what's going to come at this point. Adi yasvi, asa hu pristaka de malka. While they're sitting there, a messenger came for the king. Amalei, and the message said, "Kum, the kaboy loch malka, get up, right? Get out of your bath, get out of the jacuzzi, towel off quick, because the king wants you right now." Right? Kinafik ve'oziel. So as Bar Sheshach is getting ready to go, you know, you can imagine, he pulls himself out quick from the tub, you know, and throws on a cloak and, you know, starts running out the door. As he's on the way out, so Amalei, he turns to Rava, who's still there, and he says, "Eino de boy lemechzi lechu bishusa. I give you a bracha. The eye which would seek to do harm to you and your people, tipoka, may it pop out of its socket." Amalei Rava, amen. So Rava says, amen. So the next thing that happens, spoke eine de Bar Sheshach. The eye of Bar Sheshach popped out of its socket on his way out. No, this was a man, obviously, who was not very well disposed towards the Jews and Judaism, and that's you see why Rava, unfortunately, had to be in this situation that he's running and bringing presents and, you know, standing there in a very, very, very terrible kind of situation. But, you know, he gets his, you know, in the end of the story, says the Gemara. Right? So that's doesn't help us with the Taisus necessarily, but it's a very fascinating backdrop, you know, against the against which Tosis is talking about.
Question for me.
Yeah.
When we do Mishloach Manos, isn't we no hate to have a shliach instead of doing it ourselves? And here it's mashma, it's more chashuv that you do it yourself.
Yeah.
And the second thing, by Mordechai, he refused to go to the Mishter because they were using, it was inappropriate. But here we see that Rava went into an inappropriate place because he thought it was the right thing to do in order to get along with the king or one of his messengers.
Right. So, first things first. So in terms of Shlach Manos, so the concept of sending it al yidei shliach, even though it's a very popularly known position, it's not a universal position. The one who writes that is the Aruch Laner of Yaakov Ettlinger, the Shailos Teshuvas Binyan Tzion. He says, since the Pasuk says, Mishloach Manos ish l'reyeyu, so it's mashma that it has to be al yidei shliach. And the truth is, many achronim disagree with that. I mean, mitzvah bo yoser mibishlucho. I mean, how can you have a thing? How can you have a mitzvah where this it's davka al yedei shliach? So I think it's hard to ask from that sheet of the Binyan Tzion because it's such an unusual sheet, really. You know, most of what we know about shlichus is that the shliach is considered to be on a lower level. That, you know, the person should be davka try himself, you know, mitzvah, but again, as the Gemara says in the beginning of the second parak of Kiddushin, that a person should davka try to do mitzvahs himself. You know, the Gemara there talks about the Tanoim, the Amoroim, used to make the Shabbos preparations themselves. You know, they wouldn't give it over to anybody else. You know, so Lechara over here as well, it's a bigger covet for Bar Sheshach, and probably, I hate to say it, a bigger enjoyment for Bar Sheshach to get Rava in there and to twist the knife. I mean, he probably got some sadistic pleasure out of it, you know, so that's probably why he enjoyed, you know, and insisted, you know, for Rava to come. In terms of, you know, what's the best policy to, you know, to pursue in terms of how compromising a position, you know, one should put oneself into in order to protect the Jewish people. I don't know if you can be Madame Lemilsa Lemilsa. I don't know if you can make a blanket rule. As Mordechai Beruach Kodesh understood that, you know, at that time, you know, participating in the Seuda was wrong. Now again, the Seuda over there was not just that it was Pritzis Dik, it was a celebration of, you know, the failure of the Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt. You know, so again, even without, you know, ultimately these decisions are up to the Gedolei Yisrael, but I mean, even as much as we can figure out on our own, there is a difference between a party like that and something like this, which isn't anti-Jewish per se. It's prust, you know, it's Pritzistik, it's all these terrible sort of things. But, you know, it's not, you know, Bar Sheshach is not doing anything bedavka, you know, to undermine Jews and Judaism.
Also, there's a difference between going to a place and seeing something which is not great, and going to a mishta and getting involved and then participating. I mean, if someone had to deliver something to a mishta and then he could leave right after,
right,
it would be different. The mishta lasted a long time, right?
Yeah,
right,
180 days.
And right. Wow, and people got very involved,
right,
in it.
Right, 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 right. No, 100%. I mean, that was 100% right. I mean, you know, ain't no doma you might say. You know, there's a difference between drinking and, you know, just seeing things that you're not supposed to see. Okay. Is Tosfos suggesting here that Christians are not of the Avodah Zarah? Right, that one is somewhat inclined to read Tosfos in that way. And that would actually, you know, as relevant to our previous discussions, Tosfos, you know, one might be inclined to say Tosfos starts off making the assumptions that Christians are of the Avodah Zarah. But then subsequently he answers, no, the reason all this is multi is because Christians are not of the Avodah Zarah. T'lo pochul Avodas Kochavim. You know, they don't bow down to Avodah Zarah. And therefore, Tosfos is, you know, one might be inclined to say, Tosfos is taking a position on the theology of Christianity. And even though Tosfos doesn't mention the word Shittuf, maybe Tosfos is echoing that position which we find in Bali Tosfos elsewhere. Maybe. That Shittuf, you know, that the notion of the Trinity, you know, that basically they believe in God, but they believe God has other components or helpers, or however else you want to explain it. Maybe Tosfos is advocating that that's not called Avodah Zarah, and Mimela, Christians not of the Avodah Zarah, Mimela, none of this applies. One might be inclined to read it that way, but I don't think that's correct. First of all, in the very same breath where Tosfos says that they're lo pochel avodas kochavim, he calls them akum. Right? The akum shebeinenu kimlon begavayud lo pochel avodas kochavim. Right?
Akum is a god.
Right. Now, so it could be you say, well, Akum, you know, he's using the term in a bar. He's using it loosely. You know, the Goyim among us don't really worship Avodah Zarah. But still, I'm sorry?
Cholavakum.
Right. But still, it's a curious choice of words to use if your entire point is that they're not of the Avodah Zarah. And as I just translated, you know, put the phrase out, Ovde Kochavim Shebeinenu, you know, Lo Pochel Avodah Kochavim. The idolaters among us don't worship idols. Well, what does that mean? You know, again, I don't think it's a Raya Brura because, you know, again, Akum is a kind of loose term which can just be interchangeable with Nochri or Goy or whatever. But again, it's a curious kind of you know, phrase to use. I think also the rayas that Tosfos brings from Avidrona and Bar Sheshach also give you the impression that that Tosfos is not just saying as a blanket statement, no, Christianity as a whole is not Avodah Zarah. Because what was Bar Sheshach? I mean, Bar Sheshach was a Ben Noach. You know, he signed up for weekly emails from the Noahide Foundation. He was clearly a prosta, you know, preetzdik individual, this Bar Sheshach, very clear from the story. So he's saying that he wasn't Oved Avodah Zarah because he had discovered the one true God. You know, he was a monotheist. You know, he was a seeker and a believer at a time that, you know, that most of the world was pagan. Nah, he was a pagan like everybody else. You know, just Narvas. You know, right? He was a reformed pagan. You know, he wasn't even good in his paganism. You know, he wasn't a devoted pagan. The same way that
he was a
Shagetz. Right, he was a Shagetz of a Shagetz. Right, and it was the same way that he was prost in his Gilead Arayas. So his, you know, his religious devotion was not so wonderful either. Avidrona, we don't really have any information about, right? But you know, Avidrona, if you recall, Rashi over there in Samichay at the top, Samichay Amir Aleph at the top, when describing Avidrona, Rashi says Shem HaOved Kochavim. Avidrona is the name of the Oved Kochavim. Now again, see the Talmud. Well, Oved Kochavim over there just means a guy. So we don't have any information about Avidrona, but again, I can't be a raya, but I mean, it seems a little unlikely to say this Avidrona was an incredible monotheist, you know, who rejected Avodah Zarah on principle. Nah, I mean, you know, in all likelihood, he was just an individual who wasn't so devout. You know, he was a card-carrying member of the Avodah Zarah club, just he wasn't so devout in it. So what I suspect Tosfos means over here is not that Tosfos is saying that Christianity is not Avodah Zarah. He's not making an ideological statement about Christianity as a whole, right? Because also, if he was, you would expect him to say something about Shituf. If he's making an ideological statement about how I don't think the kind of belief that they have is Avodah Zarah Mamish, you would expect him to spell that out a little bit more. I think Tosfos is just saying as follows. The kind of religious devotion which the pagans had, Bizvana Mishnah, where every interaction with a Jew got them so happy that they would run off to their temple and be makir tov to their deity for having brought this about, that was a kind of religious devotion which the medieval Christians didn't have. The chshash of Ozil Umode was not a chshash. Yeah, in Achinami, they're of the Avodah Zarah. The Tosfos holds that the theology of Christianity is Avodah Zarah. He's not making any statements about their theology. But the specific chshash of Ozil Umode, you know, now he's going to go to church and say, he used to say five Hail Marys when he went to church. Now he's going to say six Hail Marys when he goes to church because he had a good business deal with a Yid, you know, right before the holiday. By Christians, that wasn't Shaykh. That wasn't how it worked. You know, so in that sense, Lo Pochel Avodah Kochavim. Not that their religion isn't Avodah Zarah. Avodah, their religion is Avodah Zarah, but they don't devote themselves to the religion in quite the same way that the ancient pagans did, where every little event, you know, prompted them to be Moda Meshabeach to their deity in a greater sense. Tosfos brings an Inami, a second, an additional answer in addition to this. I want to skip the Inami for now. We'll come back to it a little later, Be'ezus Hashem. But I want to see just a little bit weiter in Tosfos, the starting from the sixth wide line where the dad is, Rabbeinu Tam Hayo Mefarish. Comes along Rabbeinu Tam, and he gives a totally different pshat in the Gemara and Davov And therefore, ultimately, in our Mishnah, and ultimately has a totally different take, halacha lemaisa, which Rabbeinu Tam says solves this whole problem. Rabbeinu Tam hayim mefarish, Aser lasseis velasseis simoim, davka b'midi de tikrofus. The only issur, says Rabbeinu Tam in our Mishnah, is to sell items to Ovdei Avodah Zarah, which they will use in their sacrificial order. Midi de tikrofus. Right? To sell a behemoth to a guy that he's going to bring to Avodah Zarah, that's what the Mishnah is asking. But to sell him an encyclopedia set, or we'll see, to buy an encyclopedia set, or even to buy a behemoth off of him prior to the holiday, that's not bichlal the iser of losses velosses simoy, says Rabbeinu Tam.
In other words, to facilitate him.
Right. In other words, the only iser the Mishnah is saying is an iser to facilitate the Avodah Zarah of the guy. Oh, okay. So 1 second. So says Taisvus, "V'lo ayri klau b'leknos, devadei shari." And by the way, the only issur in the Mishnah is to sell, but to buy from an akum, right? Even on the holiday or prior to the holiday, that for sure is going to be mutter. Ben lelishna de ozi lemoda, ben lelishna de lifne iver lo sitein mich lo sitein. De lo asru elim kor dav kamited dekrovus. And says Taisvus, what I just told you is true. Whether you take the position on Daf Vav that the Isser is Al's Harvacha, or whether you take the position that the Isser is Al's Lifnaiva. Right? Now, what gives me the right to say that, says Rabbeinu Tam, so we'll see in a second. So, Frektos is first. Aye, but you're going to ask me a question from the Lashon of the Mishnah, even before we get to Lishol. Right? What do you do with the Lashon of Losseis Veloseis Simoi? Maso Umaton. Maso Umaton, business. It literally means give and take, right? So give and take l'chara means buying and selling, right? So how can you tell me that the only iser is to sell and there's no iser whatsoever to buy if the lashon of the Mishnah is maso matan, losses veloses? So zok taisvus, no. Veloses veloses hachi pirusha. Loses mehen hamos, veloses lohem mire de tikrovis chalifei hamos. It means the same transaction. It means loses, to take away the guy's money, veloseis, and to give him in exchange for the money the behema which he's going to use for Avodah Zarah. Now this, I think even Tosfos would acknowledge, this is a very shvera reading of the Mishnah, right? Because loseis veloseis, I mean, you know, true, Tosfos translated the terms exactly literally, to take away and to give. But the meaning of losses for losses b'chala tarakula, I mean, you know, right. So we'll get to Lishol, but again, losses for losses, you know, it means asomaton. It means, you know, buying and selling. That's what it means all over the place. So now all of a sudden you come along and you reinterpret, you know, losses for losses to mean, you know, that it's the same transaction. In other words, basically, losses for losses according to Tosfos just means to sell and to get money in return. Well, of course, to get money in return, that's the definition of selling, right? So, I mean, why do you have to have a phrase that's going to spell out to give an animal and to get money in return? So it's definitely a very shvera reading of the Mishnah. But what the bigger hechrich is for Tosfos, the thing that really clinches the pshat in Rabbeinu Tam, is a much stronger raya, and that which l'chara drove Tosfos to really reinterpret the Mishnah, is how he reads the Gemara in Daf Vav. Umevi raya, midi boyo bigamara, time of the losses velosis simoim, umishum harvacha, pirush, mishum shemarviach, umistakir, veozel, mola, olus kaichovim, odil mishum velifne evilosite in mechshom. Vikaomar, nafkamina, the islay behemala di day. Right? Tosfos quotes the Gemara we saw last time in Davov, where the Gemara wants to know what's the reason behind the prohibition of the Mishnah. Is it because of harvacha, or is it because of Lifnei Iver? So frak the Gemara over there, what's the nafka mina? What's the difference between the two Lashonos? And the Gemara says the difference would be where the guy already has a behema. If it's Lifnei Iver, so then if he already has a behema, there is no Lifnei Iver, because you're not facilitating the Aveira, he already has the wherewithal to do the Aveira. But if it's Mishum Harvacha, so then if he already has a behema, there's still going to be a problem of harvacha. So it says Taisus like this, wait a minute. That's the only nafkamina you can come up with? Klaras is a much bigger nafkamina between Harvacha and Lifnei Iver. Lifnei Iver means that you give the guy the wherewithal to perform Avodah Zarah. Okay, so L'chara Lifnei Iver only applies to selling, and it only applies to selling him Midah D'Tikrovas. Masha'ein Kain, as opposed to Harvacha, where we're afraid that this transaction is going to lead the guy to be Ozil Umalda, L'chara that should be anything, and it should be, you know, two directional. In other words, whether I buy or sell, the very transaction itself causes the Akum to run off to be Ozil Umalda. And again, as we saw last time in Rashi, it's a violation of Lo Yishoma Al Picha, you know, that you are the Gurim, you're the catalyst for bringing about this guy to be Ovid Avodah Zarah. So L'chara, that's the nafkamina. What are you telling me? A very narrowly defined nafkamina, you know, that he already has a behemoth of his own. There's a much bigger nafkamina. What's Aser? Is what's Aser only to sell him a behemoth or some other, you know, midei de tekrova, some other thing which he's going to be makrif to Avodah Zarah? Or is the Iser to buy or sell anything? That's a huge nafkamina. How come the Gemara didn't say that? So Narvos, says Tosfos, says Rabbeinu Tam, must be that that's not a nafkamina. Must be that the same way that it's obvious within Lifnei Iver that the only Iser is to sell him Midei de Tikrovas, things that he's going to use for sacrificing to the Avodah Zarah. So must be that the Tzad of Harvacha also basically holds that the only Iser is to sell Midei de Tikrovas. And again, we'll see, Rabbeinu Tam is going to redefine Harvacha, but the only nafkamina between Harvacha and Lifnei Iver is going to be the very, very narrow case. Does the guy already have a behemoth, or are you providing him with his first behemoth? So let's see that inside Rabbeinu Tam. Right? So he quotes the Gemara, and then he asks, "V'imidei delav tekrovis aser?" If you hold that within the tzad that says Harvacha, all items are aser. Amaylo kamar nafkamina lamida delav tekrovis to mishum Harvacha ika. And I think he has on the side umishum lifnei iver leka, right? If it's as you say that you know that only midei de tikrovas are also on the side of lifnei iver, but everything is also on the side of Harvacha, that should have been the nafkamina presented by the Gemara. Elavadei midei de lav tikrovas shari, so you have to say that according to both positions, non-tikrovis items are mutter. The lo shaycha ozil umalda b'mekach umemkar. Kivon shenosein amoz tachas hachefet shehu lokeach. V'gam einu batuach kol kach shiaviach b'scharo. Right? The whole concept of ozil umalda, says Tosfos, by definition doesn't apply to a business transaction. Now it's mashiv from Tosfos that, of course, it does apply to she'ela and halva and piron, those are the other things which are in the Gemara, which are in the Mishnah. And that the Gemara says as much. I mean, the Gemara we saw last time, back on Vav Amud Beis, says directly that Rava Omar, talking about Lahashilon, Lishol Mehen, Kulo Mishum de Ozilu Modehu. Right? But it's very striking. The Gemara invokes Ozilu Modeh by she'ela and by halva and by piron, but the Gemara never invokes that in the context of Mekach u'Memkar. The Gemara uses the word Harvacha, which Rashi says is the same as Ozil u'Modeh, but the Gemara never said that Harvacha and Ozil u'Modeh are the same thing. So says Tosfos, they're not the same thing. It's not Shaykh Ozil u'Modeh by Mekach u'Memkar. Why? Because a business transaction isn't going to get him so worked up and so happy, because self kol self, I mean, he gained, but he lost. That's the nature of business. You know, you get something, but you also give something. And also, if he was buying to then use it for business, maybe he won't be so successful. You know, let's say he's investing in encyclopedias, and he figures he's going to go and sell encyclopedias on the open market. The only thing is, he doesn't realize that nobody reads anymore. Right? People just, you know, download everything they want from the internet. You know, so encyclopedias, you know, he's not going to find any buyers for these encyclopedias. That's why the Jews sold it to him at a very nice, fine price. And Nebuchadnezzar, he's stuck with all these world books. You know, he doesn't know what to do with, right? So says Tosfos, Ozil u'Modeh is not shayich by Mekach u'Memkar. Ubayib de Gemar hachi mefarsh. So let me tell you what the Gemara Taka was asking over this, is Rabbeinu Tam. Time of the Ozil losses v'losses imam b'bidit de tikroves. Mishum harvacha, shiyelo behemos rabos berevach. If that's the case, afilu islay ledidei nami osa. Shemitoch shiyelo harbe behemos yakriv min hamufcha. O mishum lifneive. V'nafka mino dechi islay behemos ledidei shari. Says Taisus, the difference between lifneive and harvacha is a very, very minimal difference. Harvacha is basically the same thing as lifneiver. What's the shaila with harvacha? Forget about lo yishama al picha, but forget about ozilu moda. The Gemara never said that. Harvacha is related not so much to the word profit, revach, right? Leharviach, you know, to make a profit, which is the way Rashi understood. That when the guy is marviach, he benefits from the transaction that he has with the Jew. That's going to prompt him to be ozilu moda. No. Harvacha is related to the concept of revach, of plenty. And basically the idea is like this. Either way, harvacha lifneiver, the isser is, you can't give a behema to a guy which he's then going to use for avodah zara. The only difference is as follows. Lifneiver assumes that this is the only behema that the guy has. In other words, if it were not for you, he wouldn't have any behema whatsoever. Harvacha means, even if he has other behemas, by your giving him this behema, you're making it easier for him to bring an animal as a carbon to avodah zara. Why? Because it used to be he only had one behema, but now he has two behemas, so now he can choose whichever one is the choicer behema, the mufcha, you know, and bring it to avodah zara. He learned the lessons of Kayin, right? Vayavi Kayin mipri haladama. Yeah, Kayin just threw together whatever he had. The guy doesn't want to do that. He wants to bring his choicest animal to avodah zara, right? So by giving him the second animal, you gave him more choices. So harvacha, says Rabbi Rutam, is really just kind of lifneiver prime. I mean, all it is a slightly more expansive version of the isser of lifneiver. But basically, unless it involves selling the guy midei de tikrovis, there really is nothing to talk about. And then Tosfos writes, Lufi pirush Rabbi Rutam, ein lismoa al minhag ha'olam, sha'afilu im hoyu machzik nosam ka'ovdi avodas kochavim, Shrei Enam Osim Shum Tikroves Ela Bimos Uvezelo Shayach Harvacha Vaharvei Mos Mitsuyin Lohem Laosel Dover. Right? Says the Tosas. Now, according to Rabbeinu Tam, we solved the whole problem. Because according to Rabbeinu Tam, the only Isser Bichlal, even Medina de Mishnah, is to sell Medina Tikroves, is to sell sacrificial items to Avdei Avodah Zarah. But says Tosas, but Christians don't offer sacrifices. What kind of meat of the tikrovas are you going to give them? They don't offer sacrifice. Not shechting any behemoths to avodah zara, right? So, yeah. So if that's the case, so Rabbeinu Tam narrowed the isser very narrowly, even bismana mishnah and bismana bali taisus. You know, there was nothing to talk about. There is no heichatimsa where you're going to violate, Rabbeinu Tam's understanding of the mishnah. So I wanted to talk for a minute, and this will launch us into the whole discussion of Lifneiver, the broader discussion of Lifneiver. According to Rabbeinu Tam, what Isser do you violate in Harvacha? According to Rashi, I understand what you violate with Harvacha. Rashi tells you, it's this Isser called Yishama Alpicha. Okay, good. It's totally distinct from Lifneiver. But assuming that the Isser of Lifneiver only applies, as the Gemara says, that the Isser of Lifneiver only applies where this is the one and only behema which the guy now has, now that you gave it to him. In other words, without you, he didn't have it. Right? In other words, it's a case, as the Gemara says, of Trei Evrei Denara. If it wasn't for you, he wouldn't have the behema altogether, you'd give him the behema. Then and only then do you violate Lifneiver. Okay. So then what Isser is violated by Harvacha? Harvacha means, again, according to Rabbeinu Tam, I'm giving him more options in terms of bringing a carbon to avodah zara. So I mean, that's not lifneiver, that's called chad ever denara, right? In other words, it's not two sides of the river, it's one side of the river. So if it's not lifneiver, what isser is it? I mean, what's the pasuk that you're violating when it comes to harvacha? So l'chora, Rabbeinu Tam, I think Rabbeinu Tam is saying that the isser involved in harvacha is an isser dirabbanan. An Isser D'Rabbanan, which is akin to Lifneiver. Where do we find an Isser D'Rabbanan that's akin to Lifneiver? So, we find the Rishonim right at the beginning of Masechta Shabbos that even in cases, the Tosfos writes this, the Rosh writes this, that even in cases where there's no Lifnei Iva Daraisa, such as the case where it's Trei Every Denaro, like we find over here, right? In other words, where you're, such a case with Chad Every Denaro, where your help is not indispensable. In other words, the Avarion could have done the Avera even without your help. Nonetheless, writes Taisus, there's still going to be an issue of what's called Misayei de Over Avera, to help out, to assist in a bet, people who are going to do an Avera. And that, in a sense, that comes in Midi Rabbanon, and it fills in the gaps that are left by the Issa Daraisa of Lifnei Iver, which is only going to apply in a case of Trei Evei Denahara. Perhaps that's, you know, Taisus, without using the words Misayei de Over Avera, is saying the same thing over here with regard to Harvacha as well. And basically the Gemara is clearing as follows. Did the Rabbanon impose an Issa de Rabbanon of Misayei de Over Avera in this particular case? Perhaps they did not, which is the tzad of Lifnei Iver. In other words, the only thing we have to be concerned about is the Issa Daraisa of Lifnei Iver, which applies only in a case of Trei Evrei Denara. And if this is not a case of Trei Evrei Denara, in other words, that he already has Vehemus of his own, and you're just, you know, making it easier for him, or more palatable for him, to be Oved Avodah Zarah, so once you get past the Issa Daraisa, so that's it. You know, you're home free. As long as you can get out of the Issa Daraisa, there's nothing to talk about. Oh, no, maybe that's not true. Maybe Mishum Harvacha, meaning that in this particular case, or maybe in general, the Rabbanon filled in the gap, which is left by the concept of Trei Evrei Denaro, which is part of the Isser of Lifnei Iver Daraisa. And they said that even if your help over here is not indispensable, it's not absolutely crucial, but if Lamaisa, you're helping the guy out, you're giving him the wherewithal to be Ovir Avodah Zarah, so you're guilty of an Issa de Rabbanon of Misayei de Over Avera. And that's the tzad in the Gemara, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that we're talking about Harvacha.
If you're helping him do his Mitzvah Behidr for Over Avera, yes. In other words, he had a choice. Mm-hmm. So he gave him a better behavior than he had before. He had his Mohidr and his performing his Mitzvah. So, because of that, the Jew is responsible, basically?
Yeah, because... Midi Rabbanon. In other words...
Does it make him happier?
Well, just for the following reason. In other words, Lifnei Iver is focused on the result. In other words, if I enabled this result to come down, if it wasn't for me, you know, he wouldn't be able to be Ovid Avodah Zarah. That's my problem. The Sayeya focuses less on the result and more on the action. Lemaisa, I gave... what do they say in legal terms? You know, comfort and...
You ate in a bed.
Yeah, I ate in a bed in a felon, right? Now, it could be the felon could have done the crime without me, so he would have found some other sucker to help him out, right? but Lemaisa, it was also for me to get involved in giving, support to this criminal.
Well, the support, he already had the
Yeah, no, but in other words, it's not for me to help the guy out, you know.
Respect.
I'm sorry?
Lord,
even if he was going to do the Maisa without me. But for me to provide him with the behema, which I know is going to go into the pool of animals that he's going to use for Avodah Zarah, you know, I'm contributing to his cause. I'm giving comfort, and I think that's the term that you say. I'm giving comfort to someone who's an Avarian. And, again, it's not an Issa D'Oraisa of Lifnei Iver, but Midi Rabbanon, it's giving him too much of a pat on the back. It's basically supporting his Maisa Avera, you know, it's giving giving him this feeling of security and, you know, this feeling that I support. Yeah, I'm being mechazik. I'm mechazik de Over Avera.
So does that answer the question as to why it would have been allowed, let's say, in the medieval times when it was only the Rabbanan?
No, so in the medieval times, they weren't doing anything to violate this, according to Rabbeinu Tam. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the only Isser ever is to sell sacrificial items to an Ovid Avodah Zarah. So hayos, that Christianity doesn't really deal in sacrificial items.
Uh-huh.
Right? I mean, you know, they're not shechting behemoths to Avodah Zarah. So since that's the case, there's nothing really that I could give the Christian, you know, or that I could sell to the Christian, which would be a violation of either Harvacha or Lifnei Iver.
So the discussion of Harvacha versus Lifnei Iver, that's separate from the question of... of why they did it in medieval, why in Tosfos times they did do business with Rebbeinu?
Well, no, it does come back. And once Rebbeinu Tam gives this new interpretation of Harvacha, so it makes the Isser so small that they really had no opportunity to violate it in the Middle Ages. Right? There's just nothing, you know, the only Isser is to sell sacrificial items to an Avid Avodah Zarah, so that they weren't doing this. And once you're not doing that, you want to sell them encyclopedias, you want to, you know, sell them this, you want to sell them that, sell them whatever you want. Buy whatever you want from them. You know, it's not the cheshash of Ozil Umoda, the whole thing we were talking about before, that you worry that he's going to up and go to church and give thanks to his to his deity. That's simply not a cheshash when it comes to business. It's still no geya when it comes to lending them items or borrowing items and all of that. Okay, so I guess the meduber was that in the Middle Ages that wasn't happening on their holidays. And those attack of the Jews, either the Jews weren't probably in general they were, but on their holidays, Taka, the Jews were careful not to be malva them money, or not to, you know, to borrow money from them, or all these sort of things. The big thing was Mekach u'Memkach. So once once Rabbeinu Tam understands that there really is no Isser Mekach u'Memkach for all intents and purposes, you know, so that
very narrowly,
right? So that solves the problem. What we'll do next time, Be'ezus Hashem, is, you know, having introduced this concept from the Rishonim, Misayei Dei Ovrei Aveira, we'll go through some sources a little bit outside of the Gemara. We'll see Ramon, a very important Shach, Magen Avraham, a Tshuva from Rav Moshe Zatzal, all of whom deal with this concept of Misayei Dei Ovrei Aveira, with the Gedorim of the Isser are exactly, and we'll see that this has tremendous implications, Halacha L'maisa, in terms of different kinds of cases that come up, aiding and abetting people who are who are in the process of doing Averis and the like, to what extent are we allowed or not allowed to get involved. I don't know if anyone wants to say a Kaddish. If anyone wants to.
Can I say it right now?
Yeah,
you can.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.